You know, I'm just going to say that if you do buy a giant, creepy-looking doll, you pretty much deserve to come have the devil show up and ruin your life.
Yeah, why is anyone purchasing this doll, let alone several different people that constitutes a chain of custody of the Annabelle doll?
I'm absolutely baffled by it. I mean, especially considering that, like, at least in the beginning of this prequel film to The Conjuring, sort of prequel, you have none of the returning characters but the doll. I think it's a spinoff, technically.
Yeah.
But, at least in the beginning when you see the doll, it's at least clean looking. It's still creepy as shit.
It's still, like, yeah, utterly
it's
creepy.
It's like, still believable that someone manufactured this doll for people to buy.
Yeah.
But then, like, you know, you go to as the movie starts with the sort of little piece of the sequence we saw on the previous film, The Conjuring, that the people who had the Annabelle doll before, you're like, yeah, but when you bought it, it looked like Satan.
Yeah, it's like it looks like Return of the Living Doll kind of thing. It's it's got that like Romero blue tint to it, and it's all scratched up and its eyes fucked up.
In retrospect, you're like, maybe you should have made those girls instead a bunch of like nice nurses, sweet girls, a bunch of goths, because then I could have believed it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this is perfect for my daughter. I wanted this clerk to be like, oh, is she a succubus?
Yeah, right.
Is that why this doll is perfect for her?
Well, we are reviewing, as you've probably figured out by now, Annabelle, the sort of prequel to The Conjuring, which doesn't have the director or writer from The Conjuring.
No, it's not James Wan.
Any of the cast, although we do hear a sample from, what's his name, Patrick...
Patrick Wilson.
Patrick Wilson's voice from the first one. He doesn't even appear on camera. I mean, it's the flashback to the scene from the previous movie, and we don't get to see it.
Which was itself a preface to something that was only slightly paid off at the... You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't even the most important part of The Conjuring.
Right.
So they've taken almost a side note from The Conjuring and given it its own backstory. Ladies and gentlemen, not everything needs an origin story, I think, is the lesson we learn here. Although, most things don't. I will say this. I spent this whole movie going, you know what? You have an uphill battle, Annabelle, to justify your existence. Because as happy as I am that James Wan has been able to set up some franchises and, you know, that his movies are successful enough to warrant sequels, I'm like, this is a movie that just seems entirely unnecessary.
And plus, like, if you care about this at all, why would you let John R. Leonetti direct
it? Hey, the director of Mortal Kombat Annihilation will not be denied. Oh. Prepared to have your expectations annihilated.
Now, come on. Like, yes, that was a terrible film, but he also did The Butterfly Effect, too.
Yeah. The only theatrically released film he's ever directed is Mortal Kombat Annihilation. I want you to let that fact sink into your brains for just a moment.
Well, this story has Annabelle Wallace as Mia Gordon and Ward Horton as John Gordon.
Wait a minute. Stop, right? The actress who plays the main character is named Annabelle?
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is a little ridiculous. Who play the most boring couple never to get screen time on Mad Men.
Yes. They are the waspiest wasps who ever wasped.
Oh, my God. They're, like, so dull that 5 minutes in, I was like, can the devil please show up and kill these people
They're
already?
So dull that at one point they're like, we need to get out of the house. We've been cooped up for too long. So they go to church.
Right.
That's how they get out of the house. They go to church.
That's their fun outing.
What?
She's pregnant with a baby. He's about to graduate medical school. They still somewhere have enough money to afford this really nice house in the nicest area of suburbia in, where'd they say?
California.
So it's like, it was in the 60s though, when even the poorest white guy was like buying Porsches.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was just nice to be a white guy in the 60s.
it's nice to be white in a lot of time zones.
And, you know, everything's normal enough, except for the fact that, you know, he bought her this giant Annabelle doll that apparently is a rare collectible, but the doll's fine. There's nothing wrong with it other than the fact that it's tacky.
Yeah.
Until basically a knockoff of the Manson family shows up next door, murders their neighbors, who, in fact, I kind of wanted to murder myself, so my sympathies were with them at that point, and then shows up in their house to kill them. Well, they don't succeed, although they do injure Mia, and they kill both of them, or the cops show up and kill both of them. But we see, of course, something right. I mean, there's so many things lifted from other movies, and of course Chucky is one of them, as we see the dying female of the group lying there dead with the doll on her lap and her blood dripping into the doll's eye.
And for some reason Brad Dourif's voice pops up.
You know what? I would have respected it more if they had done that.
If, you know what would have been hilarious is if Brad Dorff somehow inhabits the doll. He's like, I don't even know how I got here.
What the fuck? I'm not even in this movie. but I'll fuck that doll. I don't give a shit.
Why not?
He's fucked lots of dolls. You know, and from there it turns into a very predictable, like, wow, telegraphed, predictable.
To a certain extent. I will say there were some things, and this is the result of lowered expectations, is that I was expecting them to finally do the thing that they didn't do in The Conjuring that made Annabelle work. I was expecting them to actually show her, like, running around and, you know, doing some of the tricks they used in the first Child's Play and ruining it. And instead, they branched out the mythology enough that they have other iconography to draw from that actually leads to some pretty effective scares.
See, that's the one place where I will agree with you about this film where it does work, is that, like, okay, first off, like, Blumhouse Productions knows how to do one thing really well. They know how to set up a jump scare where it actually does get to you, where they know how to misdirect your attention in the right way. They know how to do it inexpensively as shit. And there's at least 2 points in this film where those scares really work. Like, I was like, holy shit, with one sequence where right after they do it, it's clear how they did it. It was just clever. I'd never seen anybody do that before. And as well, like you said, the way they brought in basically the, rather than just having Annabelle, you realize she's possessed by this dead female serial killer lady,
right,
who we keep seeing her as a creepy ghost as well around the house. Cause Annabelle isn't just like Chucky where he can't do anything. She can't do anything unless she does it directly inside the doll. She's powered by the devil.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's the Duracell of like a cool power. And he can like move shit around and affect reality a little bit and yada, yada, yada. And basically he's Roman Polanski-ing the mom in this family.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's definitely a Rosemary's Baby situation, but
To the point where they repeatedly show the carriage from Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah. Well, baby carriages are just fucking creepy in general.
Yeah.
I mean, Ghostbusters 2 used a baby carriage scare. They're just creepy.
They are.
The Untouchables had a really creepy baby carriage scene.
Yeah.
Had a lot of gun fighting going on.
I don't know
if
that was creepy.
It was creepy that it was in the Untouchables movie. I'm just saying. Just old, babies are creepy.
Any old thing that's connected with babies is creepy.
It's fucking creepy, man. That's exactly what I'm saying.
But honestly, that's as far as I'm willing to go with this film as far as any success that it has, that it does manage to get a couple of the like jump scare moments right, because the script is so thoroughly banal. The plot motions are very telegraphed. The demon makes Darth Maul
Insidious
look like the best designed monster of all.
See,
time.
I don't agree with that. I really do think that the stuff they did, there's a one scare in particular involving a little girl and a slam door and a quick change, that I've actually been told is sort of a ripoff of something from Bava, but it works really well in this. And I actually thought
that was the best scare in the movie.
I actually thought, you know, the demon stuff you're talking about, the reason it worked for me is because those were the moments where they shied away largely from the jump scare. Those moments were about stillness and what's that in the distance, in the shadow. And that stuff really worked for me because it was like, they're just forcing you to look at it.
I guess for me, it didn't, because I just thought the thing looked too generic and silly. For me.
No.
Another thing problem I had with this film was that it's borrowing techniques from the Paranormal Activity films and found footage for ways of doing scares of a static camera work in negative space. That's like, why are you doing this in a film that's not a found footage film?
Because they probably wanted it to be. Honestly, yeah. I honestly feel that's probably was the intention at some point, and it didn't work out that way.
It just felt lazy to me.
Sure.
But the biggest problem, like I said, ultimately, is just how telegraphed the events of this movie are, even to the point of, like, Alfred Woodward, who shows up as a friendly neighborhood lady who runs the bookstore that prominently displays occult books in the window. When she introduces herself, she does everything but say, "Hi, I'm going to be your mystical Negro for this movie."
Yeah. Well, see, I was like, maybe she's one of those really friendly neighbors. If we're really going with the Polanski model, maybe she's one of those super friendly neighbors. So I thought maybe that might be
going in that direction.
Yeah, that direction as well. But then
that might have been too much of a grab from Rosemary.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think this movie's really that concerned about it.
That's the thing is, like, in a movie like this, I do, of course I expect some degree of nods to films like that, to The Omen, The Amityville Horror, other films with demons and kids, but they felt less like nods and more like just direct steals.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not going to. No, there's no homage here. There is just cribbing. Haha, babies.
Yeah. I see what you did.
I see what I did.
I like that.
I don't know. I think that a lot of the scares worked for me. I feel like there. One major problem I had is that if you think about the way this movie ends, it is even more unnecessary that they cut and paste the scene from The Conjuring at the beginning. Because they call back to it in the end in a way that was clearly supposed to be a, huh? Remember that? Remember that from The Conjuring? It's like, or remember that from the beginning of this movie when you flat out told us what right. was going on. Very so, true. I think it's an endemic of the problem throughout the movie. There's some weird editing choices in this film. There's a few moments where it cuts to black so much I was like, next week on Annabelle. It's like, why do you keep doing that? You don't need to do that.
Oh, God. Can you imagine if this was a TV series? Holy shit.
I can.
Like 8 billion subplots with everyone.
And it would be bad. Yes.
It would be worse than this movie actually was. Which, like I said, I came in with very lowered expectations.
Super
too.
Low.
I know this was rejected from Fantastic Fest. Like, they didn't want to show it. So I went in like, oh, boy, here we go.
I had my expectations lowered when I heard that this was, in fact, the director of Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
That helped.
And, it's like, really?
And even more when I found out that, like, the Lorraines never appear in the film.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a little better than my lowered expectations, like I said. And I think I credit most of that to the Blumhouse school.
Okay, you said that before.
How to do some effective scares.
I don't think Blumhouse is involved in this movie.
Yeah, it's a Jason Blum film.
Is it?
Pretty sure.
Because their logo didn't appear anywhere. And
maybe it's not.
Name's not showing up in the production companies.
Well, James Wan, who came from the Blumhouse.
That's true. He absolutely did.
Okay, fair enough.
I was just like, wait, is it a Blumhouse movie? And I just didn't know about it?
No, you're right. But Wan, of course, like, you know, got his chops working in Blumhouse and making some of his best films.
Yeah. Because that's actually what Blumhouse does really well, is to find young, up-and-coming talent and, you know, bring it into the forefront. And I don't think that director John Leonetti is going to be among that that class, among that alumni.
I think a lot of the bag of tricks that we've seen him use before in the films, it's starting to get to the point we've seen it enough where now it's like, okay, you're going to have to give us something new.
Right.
Because I see the patterns here too clearly now. And this goes even further back with ripping off older stuff. If they had a more interesting acting team for the couple.
Yeah. That
and had
definitely
written them with some more depth, I would have been able to forgive a lot here and go, okay, I actually care about these people enough that I want to see what happens to them. But they are so utterly made of plastic.
It's so boring the way they're constructed that the mother literally names the daughter Leah. The mother Mia names the daughter Leah. And I'm like, really?
Yeah, they were a couple of years too early to name her Leah. So.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. Okay. I see.
Yeah, I got to throw a Star Wars reference in here somewhere.
We got to do something, man. Fuck? Yeah.
I guess let's go to final thoughts.
Final thoughts.
Brian?
'Twas many a minute ago in Multiplex C that I sat and beheld with mouth agape this Annabelle movie. It's not a good film. I will say that it was a little bit better than I anticipated it was going to be, but that's a very backhanded compliment, related to how low my expectations were going in. I think there's some effective scares. I think definitely the characters are made out of wood, and not well written.
Not just Annabelle.
No, all the characters are made out of wood. And yeah, there's a lot of suspension of disbelief that goes into anyone wanting to own this doll in the first place. And there's some editing issues. Overall, I don't know. Maybe I give this movie 5.5 out of 10 Trilogy of Terror Sunni dolls.
Man, you see, we have one of those for sale at the store.
And I did not, because I don't go into the den of evil that
you
work
in.
You
gotta go in there, man. That doll's awesome.
No. See, this is what happens. See, this is why nobody likes white people. This is why nobody likes white people in horror films, Chris, because our first instinct is, we should buy that.
Your birthday's coming up, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Oh, God.
Yeah, but even for that, these white people are incredibly stupid.
Do you remember when we got Annabelle dolls as part of the Conjuring Blu-ray?
You got it.
Yeah. Do you remember what I did with it?
You gave it away.
I immediately gave it away because I didn't want that shit in my house.
And then I was like, oh, I'll take it because I am the stupid white guy in those movies. I'm like, I don't care. Shit.
You're going to die.
Hadn't happened yet.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm looking around. There's a lot of dolls in here. I'm uncomfortable as it is.
None are, despite my best efforts, none are so far cursed.
We'll keep trying, man.
Yeah, I've taken them into haunted houses and
all
sorts of stuff.
You can do it. I believe in you.
You know, like I said, there's just not enough here that works for me to recommend it. And there's so much that doesn't work. And I can't even tell you how much I despised the way they chose to wrap up the plot in this thing. Like, I mean, my eyes rolled so much, so hard, they actually made a sound.
Wondering what that was.
They broke the speed of sound of rolling. It was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. It's just a mess. It feels like it was written by a first time writer who has no clue what he's doing. I don't know what else Gary Dauberman has done, but maybe you should go back to school. I'm going to give this 3 completely unfrightening dolls out of 10.
Unfrightening dolls.
Yeah, unfrightening, because I'm not frightened by Annabelle anymore. I was frightened. Now I'm just like, yeah, Annabelle, you kind
of
suck.
I was trying to think of an unfrightening doll. It's like Raggedy Ann. And, oh, no, they're creepy.
Well, that's actually the Raggedy Ann doll is the real Annabelle.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember that story.
You know, if you believe any of the shit that comes out of the Lorraine's mouth.
Sock monkeys are terrifying.
Really? Sock monkeys?
Oh, yeah, dude. They're looking at me. They're always looking at me.
Maybe we should just, like, take out all the action figures out of your house, too.
No, they're fine. They're still in the boxes. They can't get out.
You know what's the main thing that bugs me about movies like this now, though, is we, like white people, we have figured out what to do in this situation. I mean, it's been widely advertised. You play the best song in the world.
And that sends the demon back to hell.